Just ask you to set your feet under God's table this morning and just enjoy His blessings. Todd and Austin are going to come and sing. If you're visiting with us today, we want to welcome you in as a visitor. And just if you have a testimony, testimonies here are always in order if they come from the Lord. So, Todd, Austin, you guys come and help us to worship this morning. You worship the Lord as they bring the music this morning.
I'd like to say good morning to you. Greg, I thought your lesson this morning was just awesome. Excellent lesson. And I got to confess, I'm a sinner. And I don't want to get up here and sing in front of everybody knowing that I'm a sinner, so I want to ask for forgiveness right now. And I don't want to, if the Lord accepts my offering this morning, that'd be great. And if not, that's great too, but I know He loves me, but I do. I really thank You for that. You ever had anybody get up here and seems like everything they say, boy, it just slaps you right in the face? Well, that was me this morning. Anyway, we're going to sing three songs. That's all we're singing. This first one, we've had a lot of requests for it because Austin and I used to do this when he was about 10 years younger. He sounds a whole lot different now. A lot different. But he's as talented as he is. He's worked it out to where we think it sounds okay. But for those of you who's heard us done this before, maybe it'll bring back some memories. We'll just try to do our best this morning.
Off the souls that are lost and crying, rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. You can look to the heavens, you can look to the sky, you can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name, and don't go riding on that long black train. There's an engineer on that long black train, making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just awaiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name, and don't go riding on that long. I can hear hear the whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. I said cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. The devil is driving that long black train.
Good job. Good job.
My first mention doing this, like I said, we used to have a whole lot higher voice when he was little, and I didn't know how it was going to sound, but went into practice, and he can figure out how to just blend, and I'm really proud of him. I mean, I wished I had the talent that he had. He can just jump right in there and sing, and he does a good job. I'm proud of him.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, a word of God speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of You, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with You, and in the quiet I hear Your voice, the word of God speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for one breath of mine would be too long a time if I had not the right to plead His blood. One step to take would be too much to make if I were walking where His blood did not flow. And the from the heavenly throne. And each time I falter and cry in my shame, still the Red River flows o'er my speak only truth of the bloodshed for remission of sin. But I'll cease not to pray, and I'll ask Him every day to let just one drop blood fall on me. And the red, red river still flows, coming down from the heavenly throne. Each time I falter, cry in my shame, still the Red River flows o'er my name. And each time I falter, cry.
Thankful for the word through song. Just thankful for the word that we can hear many different ways. Thankful for the preached word that we're about ready to hear. I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron if he'll come and stand. If you don't mind, just right there where you're sitting with the boy on your lap, just ask God to bless Aaron and anoint the word this morning.
Exactly what you I'd also like to say good morning to you, and didn't those Jones boys do a good job? Now I need you to pray for this Jones boy. Ron's going to have to change his name if he's going to work with us on Sunday morning. But we're truly thankful for each one that is here. And if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, I'm going to read one verse there, and then we'll be going a couple other places a little bit later. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My thought for this morning is, are you looking for a friend? And I'm going to talk about three different friends mentioned. Two of them in the scripture and one of them in my pocket. Y'all can't see it, can you? This is my friend that traveled all the way from Australia to see me today. Now, if you're looking for a friend, this is probably the type of friend that you might want. One that won't talk about you, one that won't talk back to you, but one that'll just listen. And I thought, you know, a few weeks ago, Tatum took a little trip, and I said, Tatum, find me a koala bear while you're there. And anyway, I saw a picture on the internet where she was holding one in her hands, a real one. I thought, that'll be fine. Just bring him on back. But she brought a substitute, and I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that Tatum is my friend. And I'm thankful that each of you are my friends. I had a friend show up Monday morning. Brought me a bunch of tomatoes and corn. And I like corn and I like tomatoes. So that's a friend that does something for you outside the word. But I thought, you know, here is my friend today. And if you're looking for a friend, I want to give you a couple illustrations in the Bible. And of course, the scripture here says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So, what is the number one thing that you think in your approach to someone that shows them that you're friendly? Big smile. I'm not seeing too many. That tells me I'm in trouble this morning now. But I thought, you know, for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And I want to take you to two scriptures. The first one I want to go to is in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm going to be reading the first four verses. This is a story of a young man who has been anointed king, or is about to become king. His name is David. He has defeated Goliath, and in this particular story, part of the Bible, if you want to go back and read Samuel, it's a great reading. It talks about him defeating the giant. It talks about him how he slew the minis, and he got to be pretty popular with the people. And when he would come along, they would say, "Well, there's King Saul." Saul being the first king of Israel, big, tall, good-looking guy. And they chose him for his looks, I think, more than for anything else. But I thought, you know, but God anointed David to be king. Now, under the general rules, this young man that I'm going to read to you about here in this scripture, he would have become the king. He was the crown prince. And what that means is, he's destined for it to receive the crown to be the king of Israel. But listen to what happens here in this scripture in verse 1, chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So here was Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's oldest son. He was to become the crown prince. But after he heard David explain how God had helped him in all of his doings and how God had been with him, and that, you know, here we know, I don't think Saul knew at this time, but David was chosen to be the king of Israel. And Jonathan, of all persons that he chose to be his friend, he chose him because of what he heard him say. And I think in this life it's important for us to choose our friends by whom what we hear them say. You know, one thing that you can do, you don't have to be around a person very long to do what? To know if he's a Christian or not. Because his mouth is going to tell you who he is. And that's what Jonathan had done here with David. He had heard David speak, and he knew who he was, and he thought, that's somebody I want to be my friend. Now, of all the situations there were, Jonathan had the most to lose for David being king, because Jonathan would have been the king. But yet, he recognized that David was a man of God, and he was a man of God, and that's who he wanted to be friends. And the scripture says they made a covenant with each other. And they determined to be friends. And then all of a sudden, he pulls his coat off and gives it to David, lets him have that coat. And I thought, what a friendship. He had so much to give up, but he still wanted to be David's friend because he knew he was a man of God. When you're looking for a friend, if you're here this morning, you're looking for a friend, look for somebody that's a man or woman of God. Look for someone who you can confide in, someone you can trust, and someone who'll be a part of your life that'll listen and do the things that are according to God's word. So Jonathan chose David as his friend, and David chose Jonathan. Jonathan gave up his throne. That's how much he loved him. It said they were knit in their soul with each other. Their hearts were in communion with each other. And you know, a good Christian, you'll be in communion with that person because there's something that interacts between us, and that's the Holy Spirit that lets us know that we're on the same page. And I thought, you know, that friendship story goes on, and you can read on through the scripture. You can see where he saved his life from King Saul, how he would warn David when Saul was looking at him. See, Saul was the one who was upset. It wasn't David. Saul was the one who was jealous of David's popularity. They would come along, and I think I may have said it before, but they would say, here comes Saul, who slayed his thousand, and here comes David, who slayed his tens of thousands. So his popularity was growing, so Saul didn't like him, but that friendship was so great that Jonathan, time after time, he warned David of dangers that were coming ahead. And I thought in that life, that's what a friend will do for you. A friend will take care of you. A friend will give themselves to a place. And what did the scripture say that I just read? That friend will do what? Stick closer than a brother. He'll stick right with you. And I thought, you know, that's the type of friend that we want to look for. We want to look for someone who's going to be there when you call them in the middle of the night. We want to look for someone who's going to be there when you need something. We're going to look for someone who wants to just talk to you. That's the type of friend that we should look for if you're here this morning and you're looking for a friend. I want to go over now to the book of John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Christ was talking here to his disciples. And again, remember, are you looking for a friend this morning? Jesus began to speak to them, and I want to start in verse 12 of chapter 15, the book of John. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You remember when Christ said there's two commandments and all the others hinge on them? What was the first one? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy spirit. We need to realize that's our first priority in life, is we need to love God. And we need to keep His commandments. And I thought, what is the second one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. To love thy neighbor as thyself, that's hard to do, isn't it? A lot of times our neighbors aren't real nice. A lot of times they do things that we don't understand. But we still need to love them. And by loving them, we can show them the love of God. But he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He wanted his disciples to love each other. They had a great work to do coming up after his crucifixion and resurrection. They were starting the church, or they were spreading the gospel to all these men. He wanted them to love each other, to look out for each other, to help each other, to pick each other up. And I thought, you know, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's pretty deep love, isn't it? You know, for someone to lay down their lives. You know, we've often said, if one of my boys was in trouble, I would lay down my life for them. Now, if one of your boys was in trouble, I would have to think about it. But I'm saying this, in God's eyes, He loved everybody. And He gave His Son for everybody. And this is what it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then the next verse, I like this. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." We're friends of God if we do His commandments. And we're friends of God if we follow in His paths. And I thought, He laid down His life for us. And He wants us to be His friend. This friend here, I can take home with me today. But if something goes wrong, and I say, "Quali, what are we going to do in this? What can Quali do?" Nothing but stare at me. But you know, I can lay down and I can say, "Lord, what are we going to do in this?" And He's my friend. And He sticketh closer than a brother. He showed Himself friendly to all mankind. He came into this earth that we might be saved. And let's read on here. It says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not the Lord what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command, that you love one another." God loves you this morning. You might be looking for a friend, but you don't have an idea what kind of friend you're going to get. You don't have an idea of where, you know, that friend may lead you. You may not know the life of that friend and their background. We often tell our children, be careful who you choose as friends. Be careful who you're playing with, because they could be on that long black train. They may be leading you to a place called nowhere. And I thought it's important for us to choose our friends carefully. I was reading about churches, and they had done some research on what people are looking for in churches. Some of them are looking for good preaching. Some of them are looking for good singing. Some of them are looking for, you know, just good fellowship. But it said the greatest thing that people are often judging a church by is, how friendly is that church? I've heard Pastor Al talk about it several times. He would welcome people, and he said, if they don't treat you friendly, let me know and I'll preach on them. It's important for each of us to be friendly to those that come into our sanctuary. It's important for us to be friendly with those that we work with every day. Because a lot of people don't want to be around you if you're not friendly. And a lot of people don't want, you know, to be a part of your life. But if you've got Christ as your friend, you got the greatest friend that there could be in this world. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that was willing to lay down his life for you and I, that we might be here today. A friend that will go with you. What does the scripture say? Go with you always, even until the end of the world. He's there as your friend this morning. So I'm going to repeat my thought for today. Are you looking for a friend? I could recommend Quali. I could recommend Jonathan and David. They would be good ones to have as friends. But as you look at David's life, David failed. David was a man. Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. But he still failed. The friends that you choose in this life will probably fail you somewhere along the line. Probably they already have, or they will before too long. But there's a song that's out that says this: Jesus never fails. Jesus will never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll go with you always. He'll be with you. You say, how can I face this problem that I'm facing? How can I go through this? You can go through it if you have a friend in Jesus, because he'll be right there by your side. He'll go with you if you're sick. He'll go with you if you're having financial problems. He'll go with you if there's death in your family. He'll go with you. And all you have to do, and what he said there, was keep his commandments. Do the things that he's told us to do. And if we'll listen to God, he'll be a friend that you want to choose today. If you're here without Christ, I want to read something in closing. I want you to think back now. You can choose a friend like this. You can choose a friend who will go with you and protect you from his father, as Jonathan protected David. Or you can choose Jesus Christ, who as a friend, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He did that for you, and he'll go with you. I want to read this. I was going to sing it, but I decided I wouldn't have any friends if I sang it, so...
Bless you, Aaron. Amen. Bless you, Aaron. Bless you, buddy.
Let me give you a little background of this song. The title of it is, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It was written in 1855 by a gentleman named Joseph Scriven. He lived in England, and he was about to be married. And he looked out, and they were pulling his fiancée out of a lake where she had drowned the day before their wedding. So he decided to come to Canada. He went to Canada for a while. He just had to get away from it, but he devoted his life to the Lord, serving the Lord. And it says that he fell in love again when he came to Canada. It says, but tragedy struck a second time when his bride, Eliza Catherine Rauch, contracted tuberculosis and died in 1860 before their wedding took place. Lost two brides. And I could imagine the heartbreak that he had in his heart. And it went on to say that he continued to work in the ministry. He continued to spread the gospel. And it says he got word that his mom was real sick. So he penned down this poem for her. What a friend we have in Jesus. He lost both brides and he's about to lose his mom, but he was still able to write this. I'll try this. A lot of times you have to feel sorry for somebody when they're your friend. Do you have it there? Yes. Listen to the words.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to
the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
I found the Lord as a young man. And He's been my friend ever since. I've lost loved ones. I've watched them suffer. I've had friends that I've lost. I have friends that have gone through a lot. But He was always there for me.
Amen.
He was always there. Chris sings it every now and then. And He was there all the time. And He's been there all the time for me. And I know He's been there all the time for you. So if you're going through something this morning and you want to bring it to the Lord, I guarantee you've got a friend who cares.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we stand and as we sing, I encourage you to come surrender your life to the Lord or surrender your problem to the Lord right now.
Amen. Page 242. 242. First and third verse. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure.
Are you looking for
Be
a friend?
Be very sure.
If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have
your solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very
today, and we're thankful to you all that are my friends, but I'm so thankful for my very special friend. I want you to be much in prayer that you would just help me that I always do what the Lord wants me to do.
Amen.
Anyone else have anything you'd want to share? Ron, you have anything else?
Love me.